Have you ever had a Christmas present that was wrapped so beautifully, a real work of art that you almost didn't want to tear the paper? Wow, this is magnificent. But as neat as the paper is, you start to imagine what must be in the box. Huh? And so you rip it open with sheer delight. Another glorious present. Have you ever wished we could do that with our three-dimensional world? Imagine, as beautiful as our three-dimensional world is, imagine what's on the other side of the paper. What's in the realm of angels? What's in that other dimension where God and his angels dwell? That remarkable heaven that we're looking forward to going to and yet is present here. It always boggles my mind how angels, our guardian angels, travel through our three-dimensional world undetected, and yet they're here, and they do their work, and yet they're also in heaven at the same time. Doesn't that boggle the mind? Oh, that we could rip apart that and step into heaven. But we can't. But at times, God allows his angels to take on a physical appearance so that we can see them, even though they always see us. We can hear their words while they always can hear our words. And that's what happened this night. God allowed an angel to come to these lowly shepherds. Of all the people in the world, to shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. God has come to this world, not to make a guest appearance like these angels, just to be there one moment and gone the next. No. God has come into this world of creatures, of the created, to himself be created. A human being, like you or me, and yet fully God. And honors of all honors, the very night this miracle transpires, the angels appear to these shepherds. Lowly, no account shepherds. But if that isn't a big enough honor, God sends the shepherds to the Christ child to give them audience in this holy manger where God himself has taken on human flesh. Honors above honors for the lowest of the low. Well, this evening, Jesus invites us to come along. He accompanies us back to this manger so that we might see with our own eyes that, yes, there's room for us. Not as just an invited guest to come and then go, but no, he welcomes us as family to gather around this manger. This manger that means everything in the course of history. Jesus takes us back to Bethlehem that we might rejoice to be the very children of God and to see that enormous gift God has wrapped for us and delivered into our hearts and homes and lives. Please join with me in turning in your hymnal to hymn number 54 as we sing stanza 1 of Where Shepherds Lately Knelt.
Thank you.
You find the baby Jesus in a barn, lying in a feeding trough. How bizarre. Would you like to have a baby in your cousin's garage? And yet here he is, the King of Kings, given birth on a bed of straw or hay. The Lord of all glory, adored by the angels, now is parented by peasants and worshipped by smelly shepherds? How strange is that? According to this world's point of view, the Messiah has surrounded himself with the lowest of the low. Why? Well, Mary and Joseph understood how insignificant they truly were. Of all the sets of parents in the world, why in the world would the Lord pick Mary and Joseph? To once again illustrate the point that what God chooses to do, he does out of his loving heart for all his grace and goodness without any merit or worthiness in us. Any favor he bestows upon us is simply born in his heart of hearts. And that's what truly melted Mary and Joseph's heart of hearts. Do you hear the baby crying? Crying to be fed? He cries for you and me. Many years earlier, when God had Moses lead the Israelites out of Egypt, they landed at Mount Sinai. It didn't take the Israelites long to build a golden calf and start worshiping and commit abominable sins. Moses does a most strange thing. He goes up on that mountain and he pleads to the Lord to forgive this wicked and stiff-necked people. And if it needed to be, remove his name from the book of life. But spare these, your people. Well, God didn't take Moses' life. That was for Jesus to do it. He would take Jesus' life in payment for the sins of his people and the sins of the world. What an enormous sacrifice, what a price. As Jesus cries out, Lord, may their death be my death. May their sins be my sin. The punishment they so richly deserve, Jesus cried out, make it mine so that they could be forgiven. And even to this day, he cries for you and me. For every time we sin and rebel against our God, there is Jesus immediately. Lord, they are a wicked and stubborn, rebellious people. But I spilled my blood for them. I paid the price for their sins. I gave my life over. And for my sake, for the sake of the sacrifice I came to this world to give, forgive them. Strengthen them. Guide them, love them, lead them, bless them, and work in all these things for their good, Heavenly Father. Oh, how our Savior cries for us, even to this very day. We sing stanza 2. Centuries had gone by from the day when God first promised this infant child. Centuries of waiting and wondering and looking. But now the fulfillment. How important those words are of the angel. When the angel said, today. Today? This very day? After all these centuries, the day has finally come. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Messiah, the Lord. 700 years earlier, Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would be with child. As ridiculous as that sounds, a virgin was with child. And look at him. 10 fingers, 10 toes, perfect in every way. And yet, the Almighty God is now in a frail infant's body. Unwrap his swaddling clothes. Hold his feet in your hands. These are the feet that will crush the serpent's head. Put your hand by his side. This is the very side that will be pierced for you and me. Look at those little hands wrapped around your pinky. Those are the hands of God, the creator of the universe, that will be nailed to the cross in payment for our rebellion. Remarkable. And yet there it is, true God in true flesh, just as was prophesied, as Isaiah had foretold. God's word was fulfilled through Mary. Mary could have been overwhelmed and fearful. Oh, what does this mean? What will it do for my life? My life has just become so much more complicated. And all the dread and fear that could have rolled over the top of her. And yet, Scripture says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept her mind focused, not obsessing about all the troubles, but focusing on a miracle right before her eyes. Her Savior has come. What is this Christmas like for you? Are you overwhelmed with anxiety and fear and doubt and troubles and, oh me, everything's going wrong and will I ever make it out to a better day? And do we find ourselves obsessing? Or do we focus? Focus in on the gift our Heavenly Father has given us, a child, his son, the Prince of Peace. Oh, that this Prince of Peace might be the Prince of our hearts. That rather than obsessing about all the things that cause us pain or worry or fear or dread, that we're filled to overflowing with peace. Our Savior has come. He has won us for himself. He has made us the very children of God. And he gathers us around his word, around himself, to bless us and strengthen us. Oh, Prince of Peace, on this cold winter night, drive out all doubt and worry, fear and trouble, any sadness that would destroy this joy that you have brought to us. Bring us your heavenly peace and may it abide with us forever. Stanza 3. Jesus is not just the Word of God made flesh. He is the very love of God made flesh. You see, love isn't just a characteristic that God demonstrates on occasion. No, love is the very essence of God. It is in His DNA. To deny His love would be to deny Himself. And that's why everything He does for us is out of His enormous love. It was His love and His love alone that moved Him to come down to this world and take on human frail flesh and prepare to die for us. Not because of us. Pure love was born that night in human flesh, born into a very loveless world. What a contrast. And now Jesus, our God love, has also been born in our hearts to put His cradle there and dwell within us in His enormous love. We never asked for Him to love us like this. We've never deserved His unconditional love, and yet there He is, loving us with all of His being. There He is in the manger to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us, to ascend to His throne and rule heaven and earth for us. Simply because He loves us so much, and there's nothing we could do to get Him to love us more or to get Him to love us less. For He is pure love. And because He loves us so much, He fills the love bucket in our heart. We really don't need any other love in our life. Every other love that we share is simply just more frosting on the cake, another blessing from our God. But He loves us to overflowing and gives us life in the full. Because He is the fullness of life. And that's why this good news of God's saving love is news that needs to be shared and spread throughout all the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. We join in stanza number 4. Thank you.